A young, nervous, ordinary girl was pregnant. She's from an ordinary town, and she was pregnant. And she delivered her baby in a middle of nowhere town, in a barn, with the animals looking on. There was no gender reveal party. There was no elaborate baby shower, not even a doctor or a sanitary bed. That baby would grow up a fairly ordinary way, even becoming a carpenter. But that baby, as you know, was Jesus, and he grew up and became the king, the only lasting king of the only lasting kingdom, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, having all authority over all of heaven and earth. He'd die the ultimate death and rise again and give the world salvation. 12 men, unschooled, ordinary fishermen. They didn't stand out in a crowd. They likely weren't known by anyone other than their families and small communities. They were working the family business day in and day out. They weren't up-and-coming leaders. They weren't on a 50 under 50 list. They weren't foregoing traditional jobs because they had hearts to change the world. They were just ordinary men. But they were the ones that were chosen by Jesus to be his closest friends and followers. And those ordinary fishermen were the ones through whom Jesus would first reveal his kingdom. A man whose job it was to serve the king. Sounds extraordinary, maybe, but to him it was not. He was an ordinary guy, a servant to the king. In particular, he was the cupbearer, meaning he served the king's wine to him. He had a tender heart, particularly tender for his city and the brokenness of his city. He was an ordinary man, though, one who listened, who met the needs of his boss, and who prayed. And eventually, this ordinary guy was invited to rebuild the walls of the city that his heart ached for. So, ordinary Nehemiah led the people to rebuild something of incredible significance. And in doing so, Nehemiah was actually a key part of the historical starting point in the prophecy of the coming Messiah. She was a businesswoman, not a Fortune 500 worthy businesswoman, not a published author in the Harvard Business Review, but she was an ordinary businesswoman who had some resources. She was able to keep her business going and tend to her family. One day, as she was praying by the river in her town, she met some men who shared the good news of the gospel with her. An ordinary, single, working mom in the right place at the right time with a heart that was open to God. Lydia. Lydia was touched, and as a result, she shared the good news with her whole household, and they were all baptized that day. Lydia and her ordinary family were the first followers of Jesus in Europe, and they opened the doors to the gospel spreading through all of Europe. And there are so many more of these. People who are mentioned far less than the ones I told you about. Ones who just have a few verses in Scripture. There's Rahab, and there's Titus, and there's Junia, and Phoebe, and Dorcas, and Mordecai, and Josiah. The list goes on and on of names and stories of ordinary people mentioned just briefly in Scripture. And they lived ordinary lives that just so happened to intersect with God's story, and in doing so made their lives significant. Life upside down in the kingdom of God means that God brings incredible significance to the most ordinary of people and to the most ordinary of places. Suki Joseph, one of our own people, in this room today. She's a seemingly ordinary woman, and I would like to say she's significant. She's actually extraordinary, but really, as the world looks at her life, Suki Joseph looks like an ordinary woman. A mom, a wife. She cares for her toddler and now her new baby. She shares some thoughts of hers on a blog. She creates art in her now probably very limited downtime. She takes her kids to the park. She's an ordinary woman. But God is using her ordinary everyday life.
Hi, I'm Suki, and I live in West Des Moines. I've been here for almost 4.5 years, married to my husband, Prem, a mother to a beautiful daughter. She is 3 years old, and I'm waiting to deliver one more little boy pretty soon, I think in a couple of days, hopefully. I went to college, and when I finished college, I went straight to work. I did not ever stay at home. And when I gave birth to my daughter, Dia, there was a war between, in my heart, like, am I being so scared about Dia? Is that my insecurity? Or is it just that Dia needs me really, and if I should be a stay-at-home mom? And the toughest part was quitting my well-paying job. And when I quit the job, contrary to all the fears that I had before quitting the job, I had peace. It's been 3 years, close to 3 years, that I haven't worked anywhere. Mm-hmm. I stay at home. I run behind my daughter all day. Sometimes it's just crazy. I just have to do stuff that's not really important by worldly standards. Sometimes it's tiring. Sometimes it's just, I just hear no adult voice during the day. It also becomes difficult to hear God's voice sometimes. And being a mom, it's a 24/7 thing. And waking up in the morning, I feel like I should go and pray, but most of the time I'm just tired. I just want to sleep. Through it all, the thing that I have learned is that God can talk even to a person like me who is sometimes just busy on a day-to-day work of cleaning and taking care of your baby or just changing diapers and giving food. In the past 2.5 years where I haven't worked, God has used me more than what I could have ever imagined. God has come really closer to me, and I feel like even though I'm not spending so much of time at His feet, but like I used to when I have a scheduled routine, I know that God speaks in ways that I can hear clearly. Like sometimes I feel like I'm not spending enough time reading the Bible or praying or, you know, just participating in church activities or going with friends that are Christian and discussing Christian stuff. I don't feel like going out and doing ministry work because I have a daughter who wants me to be with her most of the day. And I sometimes feel like I'm letting God down. But there has been also moments where God has talked to me saying that I have put you in a place where you can serve me just where you are, and you can reach to people even from inside the closed doors of your home. Last summer I was not even planning to do anything, but I just felt led to go to the park to play with Dia. Basically, I just wanted to keep her entertained like every other mom. I just took her out for a day at park, and Ashworth Road was organizing the JC Park summer fun. And I went there and I met so many new people. Most of them were Indian ladies. That was great because I never knew there were so many Indians in Des Moines, West Des Moines area. And I still have good friendship with these women. And some of them still call me, some of them still text me or message me. And it's just been so special seeing how God has used me to be able to reach out to people who have never heard of Ashworth Road. They've been reading the stuff that I write on my blog. They've been blessed by the small ministries that I do with my art and creative arts. It's just amazing. They come back to me and they say that whatever you wrote, that touched my heart. And it feels like, wow, even that can, even few lines that I write sitting inside my home while minding the ear, and those can touch the heart of people. So God has really opened my eyes to see that not everything needs to be what the world thinks has to be. I have learned that sometimes just staying where you are and being still and doing what God asks you to do can make all the difference in your life and also in the life of people around you. For now, I'm just content that God has kept me where I am supposed to be.
So the last couple of weeks, as we've been talking about life upside down, we've heard, especially the last 2 weeks, we've heard dramatic stories of pain, but amazing dramatic stories of where God has worked, and we've seen overcoming, and we've seen heartache, and they've been incredible stories, but they've been dramatic, they've been intense. And this week, I want to talk to those of you who feel like your life is ordinary, whose stories just seem pretty ordinary, whose lives have felt very ordinary. And ordinary is not something that we usually think of when we want to think of words that describe our life. I live an ordinary life. We want to think of words like adventure, and we take risks, and we're significant, and we're making a difference. But most days, for many of us, it doesn't feel that way. Our lives feel very ordinary, very normal. There's an author and a pastor who I really like. His name's John Ortberg, and he talks about how the church and even the world, we tell lots of Friday and Sunday stories. You may know what I'm referencing. Good Friday and Jesus dying on the cross, and Easter Sunday that we just celebrated, Jesus being resurrected. We as Christians and the world, we love a Good Friday story. We love a story of tragedy and heartache. Even though it hurts our hearts, we are enticed by a story of pain. And we're also enticed, and we love to tell stories of victory and of the miraculous and of things that are awe-inspiring. And so we tell a lot of those stories. But most of life, for most people, is lived in Saturday. And Saturday's just a day in between. Saturday is just an ordinary day. Saturday is just a normal day. But that's most of our life, if we're honest, and for many of us. And the Bible is actually full of Saturday stories, like I told you, ordinary people living their ordinary lives that intersect with God's story. In the kingdom of God, when we experience life upside down, as we've been talking about, the upside down life values ordinary. The upside-down life values ordinary people and ordinary circumstances and ordinary lives. On the contrary, the world tells us that in order to be great or to be significant or to make an impact or to be a person who participates in great world change, that we've got to have position and we need power and we need prestige. And the world tells us that people like Oprah make a difference. The world tells us that people like Bill Gates and LeBron James and Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk, the guy who sends people to space, like the world tells us that those are the people that make a difference. And it's true. They do. I'm not sending anyone to space, and I don't think anyone in this room has plans to do that either. They do make a difference, but they're not the only ones whose lives have significance. The world tells us that we've got to have, if we want significance, if we want to be world changers, that we need money and we need position. We've got to have power and influence. Christians fall into the same category. We think the same thing, right? We think, in Christian circles often, we think that in order to have real impact on the kingdom of God, in order for your life to be really significant, you've got to be a Billy Graham or a Mother Teresa, or you have to be a mega pastor, or you have to be like one of the authors that you read, or a blogger that you read, or a podcaster that you listen to. But that's not how upside down life works. The upside down nature of God's kingdom reveals that God moves and he works in very ordinary situations and with very ordinary people. Through a visit to the park with your child, like Suki talked about. And I love this story because I was there to watch this story unfold. I remember watching Suki walk up to the park that day that we had Kid Cafe just down the street in JC Park. And we had bag lunches out for the kids and for the moms, and people were eating and they were gathering in the lawn to eat. And here comes Suki and Dia. And of course, Suki, like she said, she wants to entertain her child. She's like, let me go in my very ordinary day and wear my energetic child out at the park. So she and Dia come up, and she's surprised when she looks out and she sees a whole group of Indian women and their children sitting and eating lunch and talking. And she looks at me and I look at her and she walks right over there. She knows that God has brought her to the park on this day for a reason. And she begins to engage in conversation with these women in a way that many of us who were doing Kid Cafe just could not. We'd had great conversations, but they didn't go very deep because there was a language barrier. But Suki, on an ordinary day, wanting to take her daughter to the park, very ordinary thing that they do, she shows up and she finds a whole group of women and kids that God has invited her to minister to. And so she sits with them for a couple hours in the grass that day as Dia played with their kids, and she begins to talk and build trust and share life with them. And it became an extraordinary, a significant Friday. It was a very ordinary Friday before that moment. And it's amazing, Suki has actually, she left the park that day with a whole bunch of phone numbers and new friends. And a year later, Suki is still in contact with so many of these women. Women who, like she said, read her blog or come over and have tea with her and have lunch with her. Women that she texts back and forth and communicates with in her ordinary life as she's chasing her children around. God used this moment, an ordinary Friday, in a significant way. And he's using Suki's ordinary everyday life as a mom in a significant way. We also see another example in a story of somebody having a meal at Perkins. So some of you might know Richard and Colleen Burt. Apparently they eat at Perkins every Monday night. And I was with Colleen last weekend. We were in a van together on the way to Amish land in Iowa, and we were sharing stories. And she started telling me about how they eat at Perkins every Monday night. And she and Richard have been starting to talk to the waitress where they eat dinner. So since they go at the same time, same place every week, they've gotten to know the waitress who's always there. And they've been exchanging stories and getting to know her. And so Colleen's telling me about her. And she's asking me to pray for her. And as we're talking about her, she said, hang on, let me look at my phone. She just texted me today about an update. She's having some major health issues. And she's alone. She has no family here. And it just hit me. I looked at Colleen and I said, you text with your waitress from Perkins? She said, oh yeah, we become friends. Like, we talk on the phone. She calls me when she has needs. And she's like, and God's using me to minister. Richard and I are ministering to her, you know? She's alone. She has needs and she needs friends and family. And she's really sick right now. So we've been able to talk on the phone and pray with her. And in fact, she went to church for the first time last week. And I'm just sitting here in awe, and Colleen doesn't get it. You know, she's like, this is just normal life. And I was like, you're right. There is something very ordinary about Perkins, especially on a Monday night, you know, with this whatever Monday night special is. But there's an extraordinary, there's a significant thing happening on Monday nights at Perkins with an ordinary couple like Colleen and Richard who are just having an ordinary meal. God moves in the most ordinary and humble places, like Mary's heart and Nehemiah's tears, and at JC Park over a cheese sandwich, and a Monday night Perkins special. Jesus talks about this in Luke 14. Jesus was sharing a meal with a Pharisee at a Pharisee's home. There were Pharisees and disciples there, and they were sitting down to a meal, and the Pharisees, of course, were watching Jesus because it was the Sabbath, and they wanted to see if he was going to heal on the Sabbath and break laws, and of course, he did heal on the Sabbath. And then as they're watching him, he turns the table, and he's like, you know what? I'm watching you, and here's what I noticed about you. When you all walked in here and we had dinner, you started jockeying for position. Who was going to sit at the honored places at the table? Who would sit by the honored guests? Who would take the places and the seats at the table of honor? And this is what he says in Luke 14, 7 through 11. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus is giving very specific instruction to be people of humility. And when I think about ordinary people, I think about humility. There's a humble life in an ordinary life. He's saying, take the seat of humility. Be people that are humble, that are ordinary. Take the ordinary seat, the one where you might not be noticed at this dinner, not the seat of honor. And as you're faithful in your ordinary life, in the humility and in the faithfulness of the ordinary, God will honor you and God will exalt you. God will give you significance where you have felt ordinary. And I love the second part of this passage. Jesus goes on as he talks about the banquet. Then he goes on and he talks about the master of the banquet. And he tells the parable about how there's a guy who's throwing a big party. And he invites all of his kind of top tier friends. He invites people that own land, you know, people who have significance, people who are important, people who would be at the top of his list. And they say no to coming to the party, and it's urgent. I mean, he's got all this food laid out. And so he sends his servants out, and he's like, go to the towns and the country lanes. Go to those other places that we didn't notice before. You know, to me, I'm like, he's like, go to that podunk town over there that we always forget about, or go to that neighborhood that no one really cares about. Go find the ordinary people and bring them in. We've got a whole bunch of food here that's going to go to waste if it's not eaten. And we need people to enjoy this party. And I think that the master in this story, I think that he knew that the ordinary people would say yes. So the people who had originally been invited, the important people, the people that had owned land, that were significant, you know, that were his, that were important and would be amazing people to have at this party, they didn't come. They didn't say yes. And I think they didn't say yes because they've had a million invitations to parties. They've got a million things on their to-do list. They're important. They're significant in the world's eyes. And so they don't have time for your party. But I think this master knew these ordinary people, they'll come because ordinary people know their need. Ordinary people knew that they were hungry. Ordinary people knew they needed friendship, and they were delighted at the thought of being invited to something significant. And maybe that's part of the secret of why God's kingdom and why life upside down values ordinary. Because ordinary people know that they're in need of an extraordinary God. They're humble and they're hungry. They're willing to attend the party because they know their need and they have hunger and desire. And they're in the perfect place to be used by God. You hear that in Suki's story, that as she was humbled and leaving her well-paying job and where she could have moved up the corporate ladder and now is chasing Dia around all day, she's found God speaking to her because she's hungry and she's humble. And God's given her a mission and God has given her significance. and reaching out to her friends in her ordinary, everyday life. And that's what I believe that God really wants, an ordinary life like Suki's, whose heart is open to him and who's delighted to be invited to the party and grateful for any seat at the table. In the kingdom of God, in life upside down, the honored places, the invited places are for ordinary folks. The place of humility is what's valued, and the ordinary, and in that place, God will make you significant. God will give you an extraordinary life. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see this theme all over Scripture. Paul talks about it quite a bit as well when he's talking to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 31, you see a similar theme. It says, "Brothers and sisters, think of who you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." God is not looking for people with power and position and resumes and prestige. You don't have to be at the top of your company. You don't have to be a published author. You don't have to be a brilliant leader to be significant or to have God use you. Now, some of you may be feeling a little tension internally. I'm not saying you shouldn't be ambitious. I'm not saying that God doesn't use people in power. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, God does. We see that in Scripture too. We see the ways that God uses power and influence and authority for good. So please be ambitious, for those of you who are feeling that. But this morning I'm talking to the ordinary folks. Because the world tells us the only people that can really make a difference, the only people that have real significance and lasting change, and the people who change the world are the movers and the shakers, are the people in power and authority, the people of influence. And the kingdom of God, life upside down, tells us a different story. In 2 Chronicles 16, it says that God is looking to and fro over all the earth. He's looking for people who are committed to him. God is looking for ordinary, normal people who love him, whose hearts are open to him, like Mary and like Nehemiah and Lydia and the disciples and like Suki and Colleen and Richard. People who love him, whose hearts are open to him, even in the ordinary everyday life. So what does this mean for you this morning? What does this mean for us as a church and for us ordinary folks? I feel very ordinary, except for when I won the chili cook-off contest at Ashworth Road. Not just once, but twice. That was my extraordinary moment in life. But what does it mean for those of us who are pretty ordinary? It means that God can use you today, that you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until you're in a position of authority or you're in a position of power, or wait until you feel like you have significance or you have people that you can invest in, you know, as a leader. It doesn't mean that you have to wait. It means that God can use you today, because you might go to Perkins today, or you might go to the park today, or you might go out with your family today and see people that need Jesus. Who knows? Tomorrow you're going to go to work, and who's at your work who needs an encounter with God? And suddenly you have an ordinary day turning into something so significant. God will use you today. not years down the road or not in a different season of life. I think the temptation for Suki could be, I've got two kids now. Like, you know, right now my focus is just my kids and I have no significance beyond that. But God continues to use her and speak to her. And she asks God, speak to me, show me. And God uses her. And it means that you should pay attention. So like Suki and Colleen and Richard and others and the people that you see in Scripture, pay attention to find God in the ordinary moments. Where is God in your ordinary daily life? Like Suki found through her daughter and through diaper changes and the most ordinary things. God is looking for ordinary people whose hearts are open to him. And in that place, God can and he will use you. And he'll use you today in your daily grind. And you just need to be paying attention to him, looking for him. And I think you'll be surprised. I think you'll be surprised to find God there and to find significance in the ordinary.